Joining us is Paul Lumley. He's the executive director of the Native American Youth and Family Center here in Portland. Welcome, Paul.
Hello.
The center in Portland's just gotten a $5 million grant from the Day One Families Fund to help solve family homelessness. Tell us how this happened.
Well, I received an email. It actually went to my spam filter, and I sent it to my IT guy, and I asked him if it was legitimate because it didn't seem real. I was being offered an opportunity to apply for a $5 million grant. He said, no, it's legitimate. So we opened it up, and there you go.
Wow, that must have been a happy surprise there.
It sure was.
When is the center going to get this money, and what is it going to be used for?
Well, we already have the funds, and we're going to be using these resources to really move the needle on the Native homelessness situation in Portland, Oregon, which is pretty bad, and it's getting worse.
Describe it to me. Like, what are some of the main issues there, and how many folks are in trouble?
The Native American population in Portland is about 2.5% by census, yet of the homeless population, 12.5% are Native American, which means we're overrepresented by 5 times compared to any other group. And of these folks who are homeless, over 50% are what's called chronically homeless, meaning they've been living in the streets for over a year and have one or more disabling conditions. And it's actually much worse than just a couple of years ago, so it's just not getting better. And this funding that's coming through right now is so timely, especially during this pandemic.
Now, let's talk a bit about that, too. I wanted to ask you how the COVID epidemic is affecting Native American kids and families in the Portland area.
It was pretty difficult even before the pandemic, but after the whole pandemic started and the crisis and everything shut down, we had a lot of people lose their jobs, and we were serving a population already that was needy, and suddenly we had major issues with people who couldn't pay their rent, couldn't pay their bills, major food insecurity, and our campus in Northeast Portland feeds a lot of people, but you can't come to our campus anymore, so we had to reformat our entire model, and now we produce food in our commercial kitchen and deliver it into the community where these people need it the most. And we are really surprised about the number of people who have become homeless, and we're giving them emergency food supplies at a rate that we've never seen before.
And isn't it true that there are proportionately more Native Americans are getting COVID too, right?
Yeah, that's really alarming. People of color in general, but the Native population seems to be among those getting pretty high rates of disease transmission, and those who get it are getting really sick.
What are some of the factors of why it's spreading faster and why it's making people sicker?
I think the main reason why it's spreading faster is because we tend to live intergenerationally. We have grandparents and parents and kids all living under one roof, and overcrowding. We have way too many people living in small, cramped places just because of people being so under income and really struggling to meet all their needs. And so people live in large situations and try to help each other, which is a good thing. But when you get a pandemic like this, it just allows the virus to spread more quickly.
You know about the census issues, that there's a controversy involving the way the census is taken. It's gone to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided to dismiss a challenge to President Trump's plan to exclude people living in the country illegally from the population count, which is used to allot state seats in the House of Representatives. And they also stopped the count early. And there was a lot of pushback among Native groups saying that a lot of times they're not counted accurately in the census, or it's tougher to make sure that they're included and that they fear that they're not going to count. And a lot of the resources that they're depending on are not going to be there because of that.
Well, you know, I hadn't heard about the Supreme Court decisions. We are very close to the immigrant community here in Portland, and we all support each other. Oftentimes, it's just a line on a map that separates us as people. We're still indigenous. So as to the census count in Indian country, it is difficult because oftentimes our tribal people, they live in really remote locations, and they just don't trust the government. They don't want that kind of intrusion, and so it's hard to get people to participate. That's why it's really important to have the Census Bureau hire Native people to go into the Native community and help them get counted, and we did that this year.
Mm-hmm. Are you fearful that they're going to exclude people that could count towards Oregon getting an extra member of Congress or getting some extra funds to help with some of these issues?
Well, that was certainly a danger. I can't really comment on the Supreme Court decision because I haven't read anything about it. You're telling me that for the first time, but it is welcome news.
All right. Is there anything else that's going on at the Family Center, the Native American Family Center, that you'd like people to know about?
Well, we are really struggling right now with not having enough resources to serve the community in ways that they need. And we did get quite a few resources from various municipalities, the state, the government. We got resources from the state, the city, and the county, and a lot of this is federal pass-through money. But it came so fast that we actually couldn't hire new staff to get all these resources out, and we could do more if we had more staffing. But a lot of times these funds come through so fast, and they don't allow us to staff up. And so we could actually be delivering more. We just don't have the capacity right now, and so we're struggling with the staff we do have. I think we probably tripled our amount of funds that we've been able to push out into the community in terms of emergency energy and rental assistance and food, but the need is great. It is huge.
Describe to me, like, with this $5 million grant that we talked about at the beginning, how is that money going to help, like, say, one individual person?
Well, it's designed to help Native American families, and so we'll be working with people of all ages who are in family situations. I'm really surprised at how many homeless youth we have right now. You know, we have a Native American high school on campus called Many Nations Academy, and a couple of years ago, 45% were homeless. And for those kids that we were serving, more than 50% were family units. So we have a lot of young families out there that are really struggling. And so if we are going to use these funds, which are just starting to roll out now, the first thing we would do is try to divert families from entering a shelter or becoming unsheltered. And we swoop in with our wraparound case management. We already have that on campus, and help them with all of their obstacles and rehouse families that are experiencing homelessness. So, you know, this is going to be huge because, you know, the funding that we do get right now for serving the homeless has a lot of strings attached to it. And this funding we can use however we want. So we can serve Native families in ways that we couldn't before. We're struggling to manage them in our community because our community tends to be intergenerational. And it's difficult to navigate those existing programs with intergenerational families.
So how many people are we talking about you serving who are homeless right now? And how does it compare with pre-COVID numbers? I'm trying to just get an idea of how much the problems increase.
We're probably serving maybe 100 families right now in one capacity or another. Most of them are in our youth program. And so we do have funding from the county and the city for dealing with homeless youth. That's primarily where our focus is. So this Day One Families Fund money is going to help us branch out into the adult family situation.
And do you see this money as, are you going to be giving checks out to people or clothing and food or paying for rent, or how would it be dispersed?
Yes to all of that. It'll depend on what the family's needs are. You know, we had some summer programming over the summer. One of our Native youth came back and we found out that they had become newly homeless. The father lost his job right away and the mother got the virus and then she couldn't work anymore and they became homeless. And he just happened to mention that to us. And so we came in right away, got them into a hotel right away. And then we gave them some of our food from our kitchen because the hotel just has a little kitchenette. And they had kids, other kids too. And then we eventually worked with our resources to get them into stable housing, which is where they're at today. And we have helped the father get a job. So, you know, these are the kind of wraparound services that we need to get people to become more stably housed. And every family is different, but for that family, we were able to come in and help them.
That sounds wonderful. I'm glad you're able to do that. Oh, you mentioned the high school. Where is that school and what's the name of the school that serves the...
It's on campus. Our campus is located in Northeast Portland, Oregon. It's on Columbia Boulevard, kind of near the airport. And we purchased a middle school in 2007. And so we have a Native American high school there, which is named the Many Nations Academy. And we're a part of the public school system. And so we end up getting a lot of Native American kids that come to us that are having difficulty getting quality education or for just really being harassed in the public school system. And it's anybody that comes to our school will accept them. We're 95% communities of color, majority Native American. We have a really high percentage of LGBTQ students because they're being bullied in the school system. And I always wanted to make sure that I provide these kids with a place that they can come that's not just safe, but a place where we can honor them. So we have a pretty high percentage that are transgender as well. And so I experienced difficult childhood myself. I was homeless. I was gay. I was bullied in the school system. And so I am so proud to offer a service to the Native kids now that they can get what I didn't get when I was growing up.
That's amazing. Yeah. Tell me about your personal story. That sounds really interesting, too. Where you came from and what life was like for you growing up?
Well, I was, I'm a citizen of the Yakima Nation. I was born and raised on the reservation. Went to the Columbia River a lot for fishing. We're a fishing family. And pretty unstable, moving around quite a bit. The family unit, and then after my parents divorced, ran into problems in high school, got bullied pretty bad for being gay and wasn't supported at home, so I ran away from home. I didn't go back, and so I had a really difficult childhood. And I bounced around, still fished on the river, around the Olympia area, a little bit in Seattle. Eventually got into college and pushed my way through college and got a degree in mathematics and ended up working in the science field for a while. Went to Washington, D.C., did some very different things, and eventually ended up at the Native American Youth and Family Center.
Wow, amazing. What an amazing story. Wow, I'm so glad you told me about that. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't talked about?
Well, our needs are great, and if anybody wants to help us, you can go to our website. It's at nayapdx.org. That's NAYAPDX.org. And we have different ways you can learn about the services we offer if anybody wants to come and see if they need our help, and then if anybody wants to help our resources. With our resources, they can also donate.
Oh, is there any word about vaccinations? I knew there was one more thing. Vaccinations for the Native American population in our area.
Well, we've been working primarily on testing for the virus and also providing flu vaccinations. We just started having conversations with the county about collaborating on COVID vaccinations, and it's just, those conversations are just starting. It's going to be several more weeks before we can offer that to the Native community, and it's really up to how the state and the county and other municipalities want to prioritize different groups, but we do hope that the Native American population will be prioritized.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.